This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Thursday. We'll get to tariffs here in a second. I'm going to get to a bunch of emails. They're going to be all over the place. I'm warning you, it's a big email cleanup roundup thing to make room for Ask Dr. Jesse Friday tomorrow, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, by the way. And so before we get to those, one, Trump dropped this little funny today, and he just really is genuinely funny.
The only thing I totally admired about Sleepy Joe Biden is the following. He'd go to a beach, he'd lay down in a cot, barely able to get his feet through the sand. He'd lay down, and within minutes he's sleeping and you have cameras watching him. I could never do that. I would never be able to sleep like that. That's about the only thing I think that was wonderful. It was a disaster. This man was a disaster.
It's so true. Remember what it was like? It almost seems like it was ancient history. Remember what it was like when we had a president that was clearly not okay. It wasn't okay. It's not his age, really, because everybody ages differently. To be honest with you, I'll never see Joe Biden's age. I'll be dead before then. Everyone ages differently. But very clearly in poor health. Look, we have people in their 90s who listen to this show, very sharp. You're still moving, still. There are people like that. My mom's side of the family is like that. Everyone lives for so long, and they're sharp, and they're great. My dad's side of the family, not so much. You're not really going to see 70, right? It's just not going to happen. But he was just in such a bad mental and physical state, and we had no choice. It wasn't like there was anything you or I could do about it. We all just kind of had to exist without a president for 4 years. They would ship him home every weekend, and he would just go pass out on the beach. And still, maybe we should start a countdown, Chris. No one's heard from him. Have you? No, you just realized it, didn't you? When's the last time you heard from him, Chris? Chris said he's working on his next big role, but he's not working on anything. He's gone. Just like that, they whisked him away back to Delaware, and he's gone. And I don't think you'll see him again. I don't think you'll hear from him again until I was actually talking to my son about this. We were, he tried to murder me the other day. I told him I wanted to go for a ruck. So I grabbed my weighted pack and took it on, and he was going to walk Fred with me. He grabs Fred. Remember, I've got extra weight on my back. Well, this is my oldest boy, my cross country kid. He could just run till he's dead. He just takes off at practically a sprint. I've got a pack on my back, and you know, I'm trying to tough it out like a dad. And so I'm trying to keep up, trying not to lose my breath. And he wants to talk the whole time. So, Dad, what's going on with Trump and what's going on with this? And finally, I'd be like, can you slow down? Anyway, we were talking the other day about it. He said, Dad, where's Joe Biden been? I said, son, he's gone. He said, well, when do you think we're going to hear from him again? And I said, look, kid, I think it'll be the day he dies. I'm obviously not rooting for that. Just like I told James, could be tomorrow, could be 5 years from now. You know when we're going to hear from him again. We're going to wake up one day, and it will be the news. It'll be all over the news. Former President Joe Biden. And more than anything, it points to this was a man on the back end of his life who wasn't a functional adult. And he was the president of the United States of America. The most important job. Look at whether you agree or disagree with everything Trump has done. It's not realistic to think you'd agree with all of it, right? Because you're a human being with a brain and you have different desires. And no two people are the same. But I think you would agree he's done a lot. He's done a lot. He's negotiating a peace deal. He's working on the border stuff. He's tackling the economy. He's got all kinds of things going on. And you see, he's famous for the fact that he works 19, 20 hours a day sometimes. And you know what's amazing? That's what it takes to do the job of President of the United States of America. It's not a part-time job. It's not a job where you can mail it in. It's not a job where you can have bad days. Tonight, I've already told you, we're going to do a big email roundup night. Newsday's kind of slow. There's a bunch of great emails. I think it'll be... You don't get email roundup day as president. We didn't have a president for 4 years. Look at what it takes Donald Trump to do to try to juggle all these things. Joe Biden couldn't even function. I would venture a guess that if you took Joe Biden and put him in a kitchen, that he would be unable to prepare a meal for himself. And he was president of the United States of America. Gosh, talk about count your blessings on where we are. Now, before we get to the emails, White House promises big tariffs on April 2nd. I brought that up last hour. I just want to remind you, we might be in for some bumpy moments. Some bumpy times economically. Other countries have indicated if we raise ours, they're going to just raise theirs, and then it becomes a game of chicken. And then what happens in tariff wars is the same thing that happens in real wars. Then one of the greatest enemies is something that nobody's been able to conquer: pride. We're prideful human beings. We're not supposed to be, but we are. It's one of our deadly sins, right? I know you're going to be shocked by this. I have pride too. What, Chris? I'm serious. I'm shocked. But then it becomes who backs down first, and then that's a whole other thing. Whatever, let's do some emails. Historical Oracle. The U.S. has been accused of being the American Empire. Don't empires usually demand tribute from their conquered nations? Why does only the U.S. send money out of the treasury? Is this a Marshall Plan thing? His name is Larry. Okay, so... we've talked about this before. In fact, one of the more recent history episodes I did was on our war in the Philippines after the Spanish-American War. But I want to kind of just drill down on at least one aspect of that story. Isn't America an empire? It depends on how you look at it. If we're talking about me personally, I think America is. And I like that. For a lot of people, they don't want to be part of an empire. Being an empire sounds like a big evil thing. I don't know how you can look at the United States of America, look at how much influence we have on the entire planet, look at our military footprint across the globe, look at what we mean economically for pretty much everyone else. I don't know how you can look at the vastness, for lack of a better way to put it, of America in our interests and call us anything other than an empire. So we'll set that aside for a moment, and let's just talk about that Philippine thing. One of the reasons I wanted to do that history story, and one of the reasons I found it to be so fascinating, and maybe you missed it, so just here's the 30-second recap. We beat the Spanish in the Spanish-American War. It was mainly fought in Cuba. At the end of that war, we essentially, as part of the peace deal, stroked them a check for the Philippines, which the Spanish had been in charge of for a long time. It had been part of their empire. And then we stepped in there and decided we wanted to make it part of ours, but the Filipinos are prideful people. They fought a rebellion. It was a big, ugly affair. Okay, so that's a 30-second point, 30-second, you know, recap of the whole thing. But the American people were unsure then, the same way they're unsure now, of how they felt about it. During all my time, I read two or three books during this time, listened to as many podcasts as I could. Most of those were really garbage. Watched as much as I could find online. I really try to hoover up as much info as I can when I get ready to do history stuff. But there was one thing consistently I noticed from the historical documents. I'm talking newspapers and transcripts and things like that. The American people themselves, they were really uncomfortable with the whole thing. They were uncomfortable with the American military going on to foreign soil, like the Philippines, when we weren't welcome there, when the Filipinos didn't want us there, and saying to those Filipino people, hey, this is ours. We're staying. The American people, you can argue this is a little hypocritical because we did conquer America. We did. We conquered it from the Indians. But you, the American people don't like to see themselves as conquerors. And that's not shared. That's not a shared human thing. Remember, there are countries across the globe today who want to be conquerors. Yeah, we're going to conquer them. Remember, Vladimir Putin is not unpopular in Russia. In fact, the war in Ukraine, it's not unpopular in Russia. It's not. We Americans don't like to see ourselves that way. We like to see ourselves as being better than that, above that. And I think you could argue, or at least I would argue, I like that we have that debate about things like that. I like that we are not just sheep going whichever way the government wants us to go, that we, the people, we will argue with each other. Is this right? Is this wrong? Do we like that? Do we like this? I like it. I also like the fact that Fred's breath doesn't smell as bad as it used to. Gosh, he used to have some terrible breath. How's your dog's breath? It can get bad. Now, have you ever learned anything about human beings in bad breath? You know one of the main drivers of bad breath? Bad diet. Creates bad breath, bad body odor. How's your dog smell? You give him dog food every meal, don't you? Brown, dead dog food with empty calories. That's why your dog doesn't have any energy. That's why your dog's digestive system is a mess. That's why his breath is dragon breath. That's why. Start sprinkling Rough Greens on your dog's food. Rough Greens is the all-natural nutritional supplement, and you will see differences in your dog. Your dog will stop being half dead all day, or even hyperactive. It can take care of that too. Vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes. Get some on your dog's food. Dogs love it. RoughGreens.com/Jesse gets you a free Jumpstart trial bag. Or 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Remember, you can email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, remember that the average American communist, the average American Democrat lives in a world entirely of make-believe, a world that has been created for them by Democrat politicians and members of the media. And shockingly, in this day and age where everything is on audio, everything is on video, that communists, your liberal Aunt Peggy, will believe things that you can pull up a video of and show her are a lie. And yet the communists won't ever stop. Chuck Schumer is still out there today saying this.
When in Charlottesville, when they rioted against the Jews and wanted to harass or even burn down a temple, he said both sides have merit.
That's not what he said. And the point's been made a bunch by me and others. What Donald Trump actually said, it's not hard to find. It's on camera.
I do think there's blame. Yes, I think there's blame on both sides. You look at both sides. I think there's blame on both sides. And I have no doubt about it. And you don't have any doubt about it either. And you had some very bad people in that group. But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
That's what he actually said. But your liberal Aunt Peggy doesn't know, because unless you break out of the bubble, unless you break out of the communist bubble, you have no idea. Dear Jesse, I've often heard and read the phrase peer pressure, typically applied to young people such as middle and high school students. But peer pressure, groupthink is another name for it, is a constant in human affairs, and it's not limited to youngsters. Ordinary men, named after the book, are the norm. Exceptions are, in effect, heroes. Courage has rightly been called an essential value, so on and so forth. God bless you, but you set the bar high. I think most of us succumb to peer pressure. His name is John. Okay, so I thought this was important to discuss, actually, on a broader scale. Because what he said is something we don't like to acknowledge, and we definitely don't like to think of it. We don't like to think of ourselves in this way. When you look back, or even modern day, or you look back historically, and you look at an evil group of people who did evil things, you, me, we might lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves in that we look back and we convince ourselves that we would have been different, that we would have fought against that culture, that we would have fought against that level of propaganda. I would have never been fill in the blank. Pick whatever historical monster you can think of. I would never have been part of Mao's Red Guard in China. I wouldn't have taken part in the Cultural Revolution. I would never have been a Nazi. I would never have done this. I would never have done that. I would never have. Well, here's the truth. Here's a mirror for you. Here's a test for you. And you may not like the results, but we're going to talk about that in a moment. We have been part of large, evil propaganda efforts modern day. You have been and I have been. We've been part of it. How did you react? How did you react during COVID? You don't have to tell me. Again, this is not a struggle session where you have to feel bad about yourself. How did you react when they told you everyone was going to die? Wear a mask 6 feet away. Were you spraying cleaning supplies on your groceries when you got home? How did you? We got somebody wrote in last night. I read the email. He was very honest. How did you react when George Floyd died and the American propaganda machine got turned into overdrive, convincing everybody that black people were being slaughtered en masse by cops in the country and America's still evil? And how did you react? Were you on Facebook? So I just want to say that I don't like it that anybody's being treated like that. How did you react? Well, we don't like to acknowledge it, but if that's how you reacted under the weight of that kind of pressure, not just pressure from the government, pressure from the media, pressure from the education system, pressure from your friends, pressure from your job, pressure from your neighbor. If you got caught up in that, then when Mao was telling all those people to go find a teacher and beat him to death, you would have been part of the crowd. We love to imagine that we wouldn't have. But the truth is, lots of people, unless they train themselves against this, are followers and will follow people into very, very, very dark places. In fact, the communist banks on it. He banks on the fact that he's not going to reach everybody, but he's most definitely going to reach enough people that the ones he can't reach will be too afraid to buck the system. So they'll lower their head, they'll put on the black pajamas, and they'll go dig up Confucius's grave. That's what the communist banks on. And, well, I'll give you another example in a moment. Maybe let me just first do this. Are you worried about succumbing to that? Have you succumbed to it in the past? Step one, get a male vitality stack from Chalk in your body. Or a female vitality stack. I'm not even close to kidding. Because you feel good. Because your mind becomes clearer. Your energy works better. Your testosterone levels go up. You start to become more of an independent thinker and less of a herd mentality sheep, less of a follower, more of a leader. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk. They're not just there saying, well, I'm taking my male vitality stack. No, it's about how you feel now. You don't have to sit and take a male vitality stack and pray it's making a difference. You'll know and quickly. I'd say 30 days, 60 days, about 30 days for me. I felt like I was taken off from a rocket ship. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse gets you a big fat discount on subscriptions. So get a subscription. Don't pay full price like a chump. Chris is going to lose it if you do. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. I'll give you another example of this. We'll dunk on the commies with it, and then we'll move on. Hang on. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday as we do kind of a smorgasbord email roundup today of all kinds of things, talking about peer pressure and do you succumb to what the group says versus do you fight against it? And I brought up, you know, people don't like to think about this, but here's the truth, and this is really going to hit the communist hate listeners hard. Nazis. Communists love, or the American communist loves to call you a Nazi. Everybody's a Nazi, Nazi this, Nazi that. But let's set aside the ridiculous modern caricatures of it and talk about actual Nazism. I know quite a bit about the history. I know how it got started. I know that once they started to achieve power, it wasn't just that they started marching through the streets beating up Jews, it was that they slowly but surely took over critical things like the newspapers, like the police department, like various other parts of your society. And once they took those parts of your society over, then the society spoke with one voice at all times. And that one voice eventually became what we know as Nazi Germany with, you know, the death camps and all that other crap. But why did so many Germans either cheer for it or in the very least go along with it? People always ask that question. And what they do is they dumb down the explanation. Well, Germans are all evil. Well, that's ridiculous. That's not true. Why did so many Germans go along with it? I remember I was reading about this guy. In fact, I had a picture of him up in a museum I was looking at, that there was this Jewish German, and he was a hero of World War I. We're talking medals and stuff like that. And he had a shop. I want to say a bread shop, but don't quote me on that. He had a shop that he owned. And he eventually was run out of that shop with the consent of the community. Of course, they put the Star of David and all that crap on there, and then they ran him out of the shop. So why did so many people go along with that? Well, because that's what government said. And that's what the media said. And that's what their friends said. And if Facebook existed back then, that would be the Facebook thing. And so what most people do is, no matter what they individually think about it, they go along with what the government and the media and their friends say. So you communists who hate listen to the show, always screaming about Nazi this and Nazi that, what'd you do and say during COVID? During COVID, did you buck what the government said? Did you fight against it? During COVID, did you fight against what the media said? Or did you do everything you were told by the government and the media? Well, I've got some terrible news for you. You would have had a swastika on your arm. I'm sorry. I see this all the time when it comes to the Civil War. Everyone loves to argue about the Civil War, which cracks me up. And I love the Civil War, as you know. All these people, oh, the slave owners in the South. And then when you point out the fact that 99% of the South weren't slave owners. Well, yeah, but they shouldn't have fought to keep slavery. Okay. Do you do what your government tells you to? Do you do what your neighbors say, what your friends say? Do you follow all the societal pressures that push you in one way nowadays? Well, congratulations. If you do, then you would have been a Johnny Reb during the Civil War. Sorry. Leaders are rare. And it's hard to think for yourself, and it's hard by design. When friends and family and neighbors and government and media, and when it feels like every force around you is pushing you in one direction, the easiest thing to do is not to dig in. Just let go. Let the waves take you, if you will. After all, everyone's doing it. It's the easy thing. You know what kind of person you are. And remember, I brought up the stress test of COVID and George Floyd. If you look back on how you acted, and maybe you're not proud, maybe you're not thrilled about it, maybe, just maybe, you'll do better the next time. You know that. Because everybody learns at their own pace. Don't look at somebody who's a leader, who stands up to things, and say to yourself, wow, I wish I was born like that guy. He's just got stronger stuff that I never had. Whatever person you look at as somebody who's strong enough to be a leader, to stand up at them, maybe you look at me that way. Maybe you look at me that way. You think I haven't gone along with the crowd at times in my life? You think I haven't looked around and taken the easy way out at times in my life? Well, everyone's saying it. Everyone's doing it. I guess I might. At one point in time, I frosted the tips of my hair blonde because everybody else was doing it in high school. I know, Chris. I really hope none of those pictures are out there. It was a really bad look. But I realize that's less serious, but I've followed the crowd in serious ways too, bad ways. If you screwed up, fine. Forgive yourself. Move on. Also, Chuck Schumer's in very deep trouble. So Chuck Schumer's going on the news trying to lay out his resume of how he protected communism in this country.
Our democracy is at risk because Donald Trump shows that he wishes to violate the laws in many, many different ways. The good news here is we did put 235 judges, progressive judges, judges not under the control of Trump last year on the bench, and they are ruling against Trump time after time after time.
He's not shying away from it. That is, once again, Chuck Schumer trying to protect his leadership position. That's him handing out his resume. Oh, you're mad at me about the CR? I got that. All these judges that are stopping Trump? I'm the one who gave you that. They don't hide from what they're doing. They brag about what they're doing. Have you seen, by the way, have you seen anything about these town halls where Republicans are getting yelled at? Harriet Hageman's one of the great congresspeople. She's out of Wyoming. She's a wonderful human being. And there's video of her getting screamed at and booed in a town hall. Remember, none of what you see is real. It's paid for, manufactured, funded. Communist activism has always worked this way. The freaking East Germans used to do this in West Germany. They'd fund protests and things like that in West Germany. Communists will fund riots. They will fund protests. None of it's real. Chuck Schumer, in an effort to get his resume out there, admitted that too.
We are mobilizing in New York. We have people going to the Republican districts and going after these Republicans who are voting for this and forcing them to either change their vote or face the consequences. This is a long, relentless fight that we fight every day. And I am confident that we will bring Trump's popularity, numbers, and strength down if we keep at it and keep at it and keep at it.
Bragging about, hey, all these people at the protests you see? Oh, those are our people. We're sending them out there. Jesse, you grew up in Montana and you are a hunter, specifically elk. We are heading home from another elk hunt in Colorado today listening to you, and I need to know how to get within bow range of a massive herd and stick an arrow in it. This seems nearly impossible. I know that this is something you would never be able to accomplish, but you may have friends or family members that have told you how to do it correctly. Please share any knowledge you may have learned. And says his name is Blake. Well, Blake, for your information, I do know a little something about elk hunting. Not as much bow hunting. That was more my dad's thing than me. Frankly, I think I was too skinny to actually pull back a compound bow that had any kind of a test on it. But yes, I do know how to get close to a bull elk. In fact, I'll tell you a little tale about that in a moment, and then we'll move back to politics. In fact, we're going to move to one of the worst mayors in the country and something she said. Before we do that, let's get rid of your pain. The physical pain. Does your elbow hurt all the time? Ah, it clicks, it pops. What about your hands? What about, this is a big one, it might be the biggest one, your feet. I used to think back pain was the worst, and it may be, but feet, it's right up there. Why don't you try Relief Factor? If it doesn't completely remove that pain from your life, it might turn it down to such a level you barely know it's there anymore. You keep ignoring it, and then you're in a bad mood, you're avoiding things you like, or even worse, you're masking it, and that's just terrible for your body. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. You take it every day. It builds up in your body. It's like a miracle how quickly this stuff works. Try it for 3 weeks. If it works, order some more. If it doesn't, forget I ever told you about it. Almost everyone orders more. ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It's not a lifetime commitment. 3 weeks, $19.95. 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I am sorry I am a little bit late getting back here. We were doing some important show research. I believe I have something breaking for you. We'll bring it to you in about 10 minutes from now. About 10 minutes from now, you're going to want to be here, okay? But I want to finish. We're going back to some emails and other things because it's kind of a potpourri type of a day. Does that make sense, Chris? Potpourri? I always thought it was potpourri, but then my mom yelled at me and my dad said I needed to go back to school. And they said a lot of very unkind things is all there is to it. Now, elk hunting, you know, we used to, when I was a kid in Montana, we used to ride horseback into the mountains. And man, there are just few things that make you feel more like a man than packing some horses and some mules and hopping on one with some weapons and riding into the mountains. You're just immediately in that moment, you're John Wayne going to hunt some outlaws, even though you're going to hunt some elk. And my dad was actually bow hunting on this trip. I was not. I just wanted to be along on the trip because I wasn't strong enough to pull the bow back yet. I was young. I was 12 or 13. You can get a bow back on a smaller animal, an elk. You've really got to get it moving out there. So I wasn't quite big enough yet, but I just love being in the mountains, and I just wanted to impress my dad. As a young boy, look, as a man, you live to impress your dad. You just do. So when you're elk hunting, when you're bow hunting, you have to get a lot closer than you do with a rifle. And you have to bugle the elk in. Part of the reason my dad brought me along was there was, and I'm sure they have better contraptions than this today. Maybe it's the same ones. I don't really hunt anymore. But it was a long black tube, almost like one you could collapse and expand. In fact, I believe I could collapse and expand it, like a black tube that kind of looked almost like a spring, only it was all enclosed. You understand what I mean, what it looked like? And you could put it up to your mouth. Guys would work on this forever. And some guys even had little, I believe they were wooden or plastic pieces they put in your mouth. Anyway, you put it up to your mouth, and if you worked on it long enough, you could make the sound of an elk. And you could really, really make the sound of an elk. Now, the idea when you're bow hunting an elk is you bugle them in. You find a way to get them into you, but they're coming to attack you. The idea is that's a bull. It's a male elk. They call him a bull. The bull, the females are called cows. The bull elk, the male, he's coming to fight with another male because it's mating season, for lack of a better way to put it. You know, just like the way we're always generally works in nature, where the big males will fight the other big males, and the reason they do all this fighting is the prize is the ladies at the end. That's the idea. Now, my old man, he was just a different cat, and he believed in being tough and independent. And in a lot of ways, he didn't give you the opportunity to be a wuss. He would just, now we're talking the mountains of Montana. There's no roads. There's no highways. There's no cell phones. Remember, there's nothing at this, nothing. I was 12 or 13 years old. He took me down to the base of a mountain with a bugle in my hands because the idea was to bugle in an elk and he was going to go to a different place. And 12:13, he just left me there, middle of the mountains. You get lost, it's up to you. Get back to camp, figure it out. You know where camp is. You get scared, too bad, so sad. You get cold, move your feet, move your fingers. I don't want to hear any whining. And he would just drop you and leave you and goodbye. And he did this to me one time. We'd ridden into the mountains. And an elk, if you're out west, you already know this. If you don't, if never experienced it, elk are not deer. They are enormous. In a bull elk, it is unbelievably scary and big. You don't think so? Because it's not considered a predator. Unbelievably intimidating. You think that's intimidating? Try it as a skinny 12 or 13-year-old who happened to be really good at bugling. That's half the reason my dad brought me along. I could do it really well. I bugled in a monster, and I'm in the bottom of this like ravine, but it's all wooded. Where I am is wooded. Going up to the other side is wooded, and I'm kind of buried into a bush. Because these things, look, they're used to being hunted by other animals, and God gave them the equipment to sniff that stuff out, to figure it out, try to stay alive. You understand how it works. So I'm sitting there, and I'm as hidden as I can be, and I'm bugling this thing in. It was like, I wish I could have recorded it. It's one of those things that, yeah, if I could go back in life, I'd get a recording of it. I would pay all of Chris's money for a recording of this whole thing. From the other side, up the hill, on the other side of the ravine, remember, I'm in the bottom of it, I just hear things start crashing, smashing, because when a bull is coming in, he's trying to intimidate the bull he's coming after, so he's not trying to tiptoe, he's trying to make himself sound as big and scary as humanly possible. And he'll put his rack, it's called a rack on an elk. He'll put his rack against trees and bash it and rub it, and he'll smash down bushes. I'm sitting at the bottom of this thing, and I have bugled, and this thing slowly but surely starts crashing its way down the mountain towards me. At one point in time, I stopped all bugling, and I decided that I no longer wanted to be found. And I was too afraid to even move. And I just kind of sat there, just praying, please, God, let this thing just pass me by. As he got closer and closer and closer. And you know the craziest part of this whole thing is? He stopped 50 feet away from me. And all I could see were glimpses of him through the trees. And look, this may be exaggerated in my mind because I was so afraid. In my mind, this was the biggest elk God ever created in my life. He looked like some kind of a medieval, some kind of a prehistoric monster coming through to murder me. But eventually he stopped, and I don't know whether he caught wind of me or something, but turned around and took off. I have never run back to elk camp as fast as I ran back to elk camp in that exact moment. That's my elk story. Let's get back to some politics, shall we? Let's get to this mayor. What a scumbag. Next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.